Reading this morning comes from the book of John, the 12th chapter. I'll be reading starting in verse 20 through 36. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These then came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in the world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered, and others were saying, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all." If I am lifted up, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. The crowd then answered him, "We have heard out of the law that the Christ is to remain forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." You may be seated.
Good morning. Good morning. Appreciate the reading. I don't know if I get God enough praise from what was said there by Jesus, and I'll talk about it a little later, but how a grain of wheat goes into the ground and it dies and it grows. That's God's sustaining power. That's the way of God to sustain our life, not just physically, but that's a way of God to sustain us spiritually. And I just don't know if I give him enough praise. We've been talking, the lesson title is Poured Out on the Cross, Psalm chapter 22. We've been going through Psalm chapter 22 a little by little and talking basically a couple verses at a time. But just a reminder, these things that we're reading, there certainly are similarities in David's life that I believe probably helped him record or to write the Psalm 22 that regards Jesus and his suffering on the cross. But I do believe that he is truly writing prophetically about Jesus. His concentration is about what is going to happen with Jesus. And you see that from the language and the messaging in Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 14, he says, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of the earth. I am poured out like water as it relates to life and death. And something, first of all, what I want you to understand is that what's said there in that short phrase, I am poured out like water, makes me think and recognize that the person who makes that statement understands that their death is near. Death is shortly to come. Sometimes death is not swift. A lot of times it is. Unfortunately, it's swift. People lose their life quickly. But death is not always swift. Sometimes people recognize that they're going to die. I've sat several times with folks who what we call were on their deathbed. I have sat several times, even my own mother, I think even in her circumstance, realized that death was near. And sometimes they just need someone there to reassure them that it's okay to go. But I've sat a lot of times with folks and they knew death was near. And that's kind of the concept that we're looking at. And when a person understands that death is near, they reflect upon their life. I always think of that reflection in the terms of the song, Precious Memories. Precious memories, how they linger, and I didn't include everything, but how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. My mother experienced those things before she died. And you could tell, even though she didn't say a lot and sometimes didn't say anything, the time before her death, she reflected on younger years. Apostle Paul tells the young evangelist Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, he says, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." I don't believe he's talking about he's going to go somewhere else, so he's going to leave and go to a different place. I believe he's talking about his death. Apostle Paul tells Timothy, you continue the work. You keep working. Now, you're going to run into some obstacles because people are no longer going to want to hear. We want to hear what we want to hear, right? They're no longer going to want to hear sound doctrine. All the things that I have taught you up to this point, there's going to be a time where people don't want to hear that anymore. They don't want to hear it. In fact, some of these people are going to be so entangled on trying to be religiously justified, and some people simply won't care at all. But they're going to be so entangled on wanting to be religiously justified that they're going to go and they're going to search until they find something that appeals to them. They want to hear what they want to hear. But here's the important thing. Paul tells Timothy, my departure is at hand. Timothy, I'm no longer going to be here to help you. You keep going. You keep working. You fulfill the ministry. Jesus knew that his time would come where he would die on the cross. He knew his time was near. He knew he was near death. He knew he would make that trip and that it would end in his death. He says in John chapter 12, we had that read for us. John chapter 12, but Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. I hate to use the word proud, but I am so proud of being able to go out and raise sweet corn for really the first time. I'm not a farmer. But I went out and I planted a lot of sweet corn, and I found out that it's hard work to plant by hand. It's hard work to get the ground ready. But it's amazing to take that little, what looks dead already, put it in the ground and have these green stalks come forth. And I'm sure Brother Jonathan feels that way every time he plants. Unless it's super hot, and then you may not feel that way. You don't really care. But it's amazing. Because what happens is, from that death of that what already looks dead seed of corn comes life. And after Jesus' resurrection, I skipped a whole paragraph. I want to go back because you want to hear this. His death produced an opportunity for eternal life to all that would call on his name, seriously call on his name. He knew death was near, but he also knew what it meant for all of mankind. He knew what it meant for us in this day. I personally believe that for everyone in this room, everyone in this auditorium, everyone that is walking the face of the earth, that death is really near. It is near. You know, it could happen at any time. Hopefully the Lord will come back before then. But if he doesn't, just keep in mind that death is always near. We need to have an eternal hope in us when we recognize that life is fragile, that it can be taken at any time. There's folks in, it's in our bulletin, that have lost their 19-year-old child in a car accident. 19 years old. That's a tragedy. But it helps us understand that life is fragile. We need to keep that in mind because it can be taken at an instant. He says in verse 27, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Now, after his resurrection, Jesus transferred the responsibility of the gospel, preaching the gospel, to his disciples, his apostles. As did Apostle Paul transfer the responsibility of preaching the gospel to Timothy the evangelist. The Bible, to the true believer, transfers the responsibility of preaching the gospel and teaching the gospel to all of us. It never stops. Just like that grain of wheat comes up and brings life, the Bible brings life, but it won't bring life if people don't hear it. "I am poured out like water," secondly, is also a declaration of life, a life centered on Christ. And that's a goal that every believer should have, especially at the time when they are near death, when they understand that death is coming. And if we understand that could be any time, then that's really important. We reflect. We understand that it is our job and responsibility. And how do I know that? Well, we look at this and we think, well, that doesn't apply to me. He's talking to the apostles. That doesn't apply to me. Jesus is talking about himself. That doesn't apply to me because that's something that they did. I've heard brethren say that a lot of the dictates in the gospel accounts are just for the apostles. The Great Commission, I've heard brethren say, that's just for the apostles. He was talking to them only. But I know something maybe that they should think about. John chapter 9, verse 4, he says, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day." Who said that? Who's saying this? "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day." Who's making that statement? Jesus is making that statement. The I is Jesus. "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." You know what? You reflect back to our reading, you'll understand that we're involved in that. In essence, the pronoun I is a substitution for the person's name. In this case, it's Jesus. It is also a transferable directive. That means we must work while it is day. That's something he was teaching his apostles. That's something that he is teaching us today through the Holy Scripture. We must work while it is day. So the Apostle Paul, realizing time was coming, reflects on his life, but he also transfers the torch to Timothy. He states, I have fought the good fight. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Those are the people that went out and worked. Those are the people that believed. Those are the people that were obedient. Apostle Paul can look back. Now listen to this. I've given some consideration to this. You may not agree with it, but I've given some consideration to this and this for reflective nature that the Apostle Paul is going through as he sees the time is near. He understands that I've got to get someone else prepared to take over for me. Apostle Paul can look back from the time of his conversion and he can say, I faithfully devoted my life to the cause of Christ. I am convinced that his final reflections were looking at himself and saying, I have emptied myself. I have devoted myself to Jesus. Notice what he doesn't reflect upon. He doesn't look at his failures. He doesn't look at the time before when he persecuted the church. He doesn't look at those things because now at this point, they don't matter. And that's sort of our problem sometimes about going forward, because we look at the past and think, I can't do this because look who I used to be. And that stops us. That puts a block before us going out and teaching other people. If we have the word and we understand it, then we have what we need. All that before no longer matters. Apostle Paul had faith strong enough to know, assuredly, without doubt, that his sin was forgotten because it was forgiven. I personally really desire that strong of faith. That strong of faith. Some say, it's interesting because I read an article about this just this week, that Paul actually skipped a step, because we've reduced salvation. I've said this before, earlier. We've reduced salvation as a series of steps. But some will say, now, Paul, you skipped a step. Well, that's an interesting statement. Acts chapter 9, verse 18, in Paul's conversion in that book of Acts chapter 9, we understand that he's going to be meeting up with Ananias. And when he did, Acts chapter 9, verse 18, it says, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. Now, Paul, you skipped a step. When did you, well, actually more than one. When did you repent? When did you confess? Well, we get caught up in the idea that this all happened immediately. What happened immediately was the scales that were on his eyes fell off and he was able to see. That was the immediate thing. I don't think the Apostle Paul would speak of repentance if he didn't repent himself. I don't think he would speak of repentance if he didn't feel like it was necessary. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. And I'm throwing this in there. I don't know if it's actually related to pouring yourself out, but I'm throwing it in there because I found that to be extremely interesting that people felt that way. But he says in Acts 17, verse 30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. We went to Ephesus and called the elders together to him. And when they'd all come and gathered together with him, he says, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility. I think he did that his entire life, even though he was an error. He served the Lord with many tears and trials, which happened to me and by the plotting of the Jews. But how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to the Greeks. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In that statement there tells me right away that not only did Paul teach repentance, but he told people to confess the name of Christ. He didn't skip any steps. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Does that sound familiar to you? It should sound familiar to us, because Jesus himself told Ananias in Acts chapter 9, verse 16, he says, for I will show him, talking about Paul, how many things he must suffer to my name's sake. Ananias was a little hesitant to help Paul because didn't you hear what Paul was like? But I'm going to show you. And Paul says, that's what's happening to me. I don't know what's going to happen to me when I go down there, but I know there's going to be trials, and I know there's going to be trouble, and I know there's going to be tribulation. I know there's going to be persecution. And in verse 24, he says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. So if you read that entirety of Acts chapter 20, you'll see that Paul devoted his life to Christ. He devoted his life to Christ. His life was never about him. Even at one time, he said, I'll give up myself for my kinsmen. But Paul was loyal. As I had stated before, the words of the Apostle Paul lead us to the second part of this message. I am poured out like water. That's a declaration of a Christ-centered life, a life well lived serving God. Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, you can't work out your own salvation with fear and trembling if you don't have the word. If you don't know what to do, how are you going to do it? How am I going to work this out? It's like trying to build something without plans. I've done that before. And you know what? It doesn't turn out very good. Well, if you got plans, it works out really well if you actually get them out and study them and look at them and think about it. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing. My wife and I had this conversation this morning. Do all things without complaining and disputing. I like that verse because you can use it now and then when you need it. You should use it all the time. It should be all the time. That should always be on your lips. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. It's interesting. Paul Harvey said something that I really... And, you know, we've had the famous thing that he said about if he were the devil. But we have this other thing that he said. He says, because I've written in here, in today's society, the righteous stick out. Well, he said that at times like this, it's always wise to remember that there have always been times like this. Does that make sense? There have always been times like this. There's nothing new under the sun, that Solomon says. And that's what he means. But it seems like in today's society, because that's where we're living, the righteous will stick out, as the old saying goes, like a sore thumb. Holding fast the word of life. Holding fast the word of life. That's what he's talking about when he talks about the eternal scripture. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me, because it's going to work out for good, because I love the Lord. Brethren, we run in vain if our life and all that it entails is not centered on Christ. We run in vain if we are not an example and an influence for good for everyone about us, not just when we come together, not just in associations where it's all Christians, but everywhere. We run in vain if we're not a good example and a good influence. We run in vain if we have the gospel message and we don't share it with anyone else. We run in vain. David wrote about Jesus in Psalm 22. I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. He's describing the total collapse of Jesus on the cross. The total collapse of his body on the cross as life drains away. And in your mind, when you read this and you think about it, look at, picture, think about Jesus on the cross, because that's what he's describing. The weight of his body becomes a burden because it's dragging him down. He is actually, it is so bad, some say that he's actually dislocating his joints trying to hold himself up. But he can't breathe because as his body slumps forward, he's trying to hold himself up. He's suffocating. Blood flow is impeded and it builds around the heart and begins to suffocate him. You know, David is familiar with execution, but he's unfamiliar with crucifixion, because crucifixion didn't actually become a practice till several centuries after David. So that tells me that David is writing something prophetic about my Lord concerning his death. The nature and description of Psalm 22 depicts the suffering Jesus endured because of sin that separates man from God. And the graphic nature of his death, as we'll see at the end of this series, really magnifies all the events that happened just immediately when he died on the cross. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of the earth. This verse describes our Savior as he's clinging to the cross. His body is suffering from blood loss, shock, and dehydration. Dried up like a potsherd, my tongue clings to my jaws. He's like a brittle piece of dried up pottery that if you accidentally let it slip out of your hands, it will break into a million pieces. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. You know, I think it's extremely fitting that those who reject Christ will spend an eternity faced with an unbearable thirst. My Savior gave his life, and he had an unbearable thirst on the cross. Isaiah 53, and I'm just about done. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. His body draining of life, he continued to pour himself out even unto death for you and for me. And that'll lead us into the invitation. What Jesus has accomplished on the cross, he said, is finished. So if we are in Christ, meaning we have really from the heart believed, and we have been baptized, that means the debt has been canceled by Christ Jesus himself on the cross. Well, the opposite of that is true if we have not accepted Christ and we have not been baptized. The opposite of that is true. If we have not been baptized, then we are still in debt because of our sin. Nothing has been accomplished for us by the cross. We are separated from God, and that's how we'll pay that debt if eternity comes soon. So I would implore you to repent, confess, and be baptized into Christ today if you have not been. If we are in Christ, I think it's important for us to realize that being in Christ, first of all, it's a commitment. Second of all, it's extremely challenging. If you are in Christ, but you have a burden on your heart, that you need prayer from your brethren to help. Maybe you have a strained relationship with God himself. But if we can help you in any way and pray for you, or you have other circumstances in your life that we'd like prayer, this is the place. You're at the right place. We will be glad to help you. Please let us know how we can help you this day while we stand and while we sing the closing song.